The Book of Ruth is a popular book amongst Bible readers. It's an easy read. It has a great storyline. It has characters that you can identify with, or who remind you of characters you meet in everyday life. It has romance. It has a lead character who displays humility, devotion, resolve, and who, by the grace of God, overcomes adversity, obstacles, and at the end of the story, is loved and respected by all. It's a great story. But what's the purpose of this book? We see in the book God's providential care, his providing for those who trust in him. We see that God's grace reaches outside of Israel to all nations. But clearly, the overriding purpose of the book is to trace the line of King David. And through this heartwarming story, we see how everyday decisions of ordinary people can be brought together to fulfill the great plans and purposes of God. I found that quite mind-blowing. Early in the story, we find three desperately poor widows, linked by marriage, who would attract no more than a sympathetic glance from the movers and the shakers in society. And yet, the decisions of two of them would impact the world for the rest of time and impact every human being for eternity. I find that mind-blowing too, that the decisions of two widows, again, let me repeat, would impact the world for the rest of time and impact every human being for eternity. How come? Because through Naomi's decision to return to Judah and Ruth's decision to go with her, Ruth married Boaz, and from that marriage came Obed, who became the father of Jesse, who became the father of David, King David. And from King David's line came Jesus Christ, the Saviour and Lord. And so suddenly, instead of being a story about two little widows, the story becomes huge. And it provides the ingredients not only in God's plan for Israel, but in his plan of salvation for the whole world. And that's amazing, isn't it? Chapter 1 begins by painting in the background of this story. It took place in the days when the judges ruled. These were days when God's Old Testament people were settling into the promised land. They were desperate days because we read in the book of Judges that they were days when everybody did what was right in his own eyes. Didn't care about anybody else. He did what was right in his own eyes. And there seemed to be a regular cycle of events. The people did what was right in their own eyes. They were unfaithful to God. God judged them. They repented. They cried out to God for mercy. And God raised up a judge to lead and restore them. And we see this cycle repeated again and again throughout the book of Judges. And the book of Ruth is set in the time when God was judging the nation. God had said in Leviticus chapter 26 and verses 18 through to 21, speaking to the people leading up to the settling of the people into the promised land, God said, after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield its fruit. There would be famine. And so it was a time when God was judging these people that this book is set. And it was this famine that prompted Elimelech to take his wife Naomi and their 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, on a 50-mile hike to Moab. Now we can appreciate Elimelech's concern to feed his family, and can sympathize with his decision to go into Moab. But I ask, was it the right thing to do? Was it the right thing to leave the land the Lord had given them, when he had promised that if they were faithful to him, they could look to him to supply their needs? Was it right to go to a nation that were avowed enemies of God's people? Was it right to leave the land where the living God was worshipped and go to the land where Chemosh was worshipped? And where the only women that his grown-up sons were likely to meet would be worshippers of other gods? After all, Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3, God had said that no Moabite should be admitted to the assembly of the Lord for 10 generations. And yet, without a mention of prayer or a hint of seeking the Lord's guidance, Elimelech takes his wife and sons to Moab. And there, Elimelech died. I wonder, did Elimelech encourage his sons to wait until they returned before finding a wife? We don't know. But we do know that after he died, Mahlon and Chilion each took a Moabite wife. And then to add to Naomi's grief, Mahlon and Chilion died. It was a nightmare scenario. And there was at that time just one place where Naomi wanted to be, and it was back in Judah, back in the promised land, back with the people of God. I believe that although the Lord wonderfully overruled, Elimelech should have valued more highly the land God had given him and should have taken more seriously the spiritual well-being of his family and stayed in Judah. Which leads me to ask the question, when we face challenging times, is our first thought to run away? Should we not rather be like the psalmist in Psalm 91 and verses 1 and following when he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." There's an encouragement to put our hand in the hand of God, to come under His protection, to do what is right and pleasing in His sight. However, even when we have wandered a long way from the Lord, He can reach us with His grace and mercy. He can overrule in our situation and our circumstances for His own honour and our good. And so what music it was to Naomi's ears when in verse 6 she hears that the Lord has visited His people by giving them bread. There was food again in Israel. Naomi may have been reluctant to go to Moab in the first place, but once she heard there was food in Judah, her mind was made up. Her time in Moab had seen one tragedy after another. She longed to see her homeland again. And so Naomi and her daughters-in-law packed their few belongings and headed back for Judah. Now, by marriage, Orpah and Ruth had become members of Naomi's family. And as the menfolk had died, Naomi felt a measure of responsibility for them. So, for instance, in verse 11, she would have loved to have produced sons for them to marry according to Jewish tradition. And these two daughters-in-law seem to have a genuine fondness for Naomi. So in verse 7, they all set out for Judah together. But after a while, perhaps when they were about to leave Moab, Naomi stopped and she encouraged her daughters-in-law to go back to their families. She recognized that at the time and in that setting, it would be much easier for them if they were in familiar surroundings, especially if they could find a new husband. Orpah and Ruth were reluctant to let Naomi go off on her own, but in verses 9 to 13, Naomi explained to them that she couldn't offer them any hope of a husband and the protection and the support that a husband and family would provide in those days. So she tried to persuade them to go back. And in verse 14, after lots of tears, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and returned. Then Naomi turned to Ruth and said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Go back with her." The Bible faithfully tells us what Naomi said, even though it conflicts with the first of the Ten Commandments. because she encouraged Ruth to go back to her gods. Strange thing for a believing woman to say. The time of the judges was a time when there was little teaching of the Word of God. And there was compromise, sadly. And so the Bible faithfully tells us what Naomi said. But can you see what a fragile situation now Ruth is in? Should she return to her people or not? Orpah had already gone, and Naomi was seemingly encouraging her to go back too. And yet Ruth had a growing conviction that she should go on with Naomi. And eventually this conviction led to one of the most heartwarming statements in the whole of the Old Testament. We used to have a card game in our home, a Bible card game called Who Said? And certain quotations were given 1 point, some two, some three, some four. This was a four, and we quickly learned it. What did she say? Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you from me. What was Ruth saying? Ruth had made up her mind that she was going with Naomi. And she didn't want to hear another word about it. She had been given the opportunity to return to her mother's house, but she wanted to be with Naomi. Deeper still, she wanted Naomi's people to be her people. She wanted to identify with the people of Israel. Despite all that had happened to her as a member of Naomi's family, and although clearly Naomi was struggling to come to terms with what had happened herself and could offer her no hope, there was something about Naomi that made Ruth want to be with her. And surely that something is in the next line. And your God, my God. Ruth had come to believe in the God of the Bible. She had turned her back on the gods of Moab. And by going to Judah with Naomi, she was openly declaring her love for Naomi's God. Nor was this to be a fleeting visit, not a bit of it. No, she says, where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. And then amazingly, in the last sentence of verse 17, Naomi says, the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. They are words that are repeated again and again in the books of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, and 2 Kings. And there, Ruth was affirming her promise with an oath. She was entering into a covenant with Naomi and the God of Naomi. Humanly speaking, it would have been so easy for Ruth to turn back, but God was at work. And having made that commitment, she steps out in faith and crosses the border into Israel and into Judah. Today, something similar is happening all over the world. People in the most fragile of situations are being pulled this way and that way. And you think, however can perhaps young people growing up in our world today ever identify with the Lord Jesus? But what's happening? The Lord is drawing people to trust him and to step out in faith and follow him. And some of the most courageous, some of the most bold followers of the Lord Jesus are to be found amongst young people today. I want to ask you, in a world where people are being pulled this way and that way, are you trusting and following the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you stepped out in faith and identified yourself as one of his people? Have you told someone? Have you acknowledged that in believers' baptism? Ruth stepped out in faith, trusting and following the Lord. But it didn't stop there for Ruth. Her newfound faith was accompanied by love, kindness, and devotion to Naomi. And similarly, when we trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be accompanied by love and kindness and devotion as we display the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. Sometimes it will result in similar actions to those of Ruth. Sometimes it will result in similar actions to a friend of mine who has been out on mercy ships, taking his skills with him to help the poor countries of the world who don't have, for instance, a health service. Sometimes it may result in the actions of another Christian I know who helped a fellow Christian with a substantial financial gift when they were in need. But all done in the name of Jesus. And what a contrast Ruth was with the people at the time of the judges who did that which was right in their own eyes. For here was somebody who was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Our world is by and large a cold, clinical, and cruel place. The true love of Christ is such a contrast. It stands out. People are moved by it. And on occasions, it has been the trigger that has caused people to seek and find the Lord. I remember on one occasion, the husband of a lady who was a member of our fellowship who had been very, very ill. And the church had shown her great support in her great illness. And her husband just said to me, "You folk have got something I haven't got. You folk have got something I haven't got." And he studied the scriptures with us and came to faith in Christ. May God's love be the trigger that causes many more to seek him and find him. And so this opening chapter encourages us to see that when we face challenging times, our first thoughts should not be to run away, but rather to look to the Lord and his word for our comfort, encouragement, guidance, and direction. It also encourages us to follow the example of Ruth, who in the face of many obstacles put her hand into the hand of God and stepped out in faith, trusting and following him. But it encourages us as the people of God to love him and to reflect his love and kindness and devotion to the Lord's people. But that's just the beginning. For this story is huge. Because as it goes on, we see that the decisions of these two unassuming widows in the hand of God, as we said earlier, impacts the world for the rest of time and impacts every human being for eternity. And they didn't even see it in their lifetime, did they? They just took a decision. They went back. They married. Probably that was it. They didn't see it in their lifetime. But God was working his purposes out. And that leads me to say this. Who knows that some seeming insignificant decision that you make and I make can have a huge impact in the plans and purposes of God. Amazing, isn't it? And so, let us humbly trust and follow our Lord. Amen.